So there was a discussion, a deliberation about who should become the Rosh Yeshiva in Pumpedisa. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Samach Dalet recounts this deliberation, and the two candidates were Rabbi Yosef and Rabba. And part of this deliberation was because their learning styles were different. And their learning styles were so different that they actually had nicknames. Rabbi Yosef's nickname was Sinai, because the integrity of his masara, of his traditions, was so impeccable, was so untainted and unadulterated. Everything was clear, was organized. It was as if you were sitting at Har Sinai and receiving a straight transmission. Rabba's nickname was Okir Harim. He would actually lift the mountain. Of course, a direct reference to Har Sinai. And his scintillating intellect and powers of analysis and ability to analyze the overall system, to literally hold the mountain up in the air, to be panoramic, to be systemic. There's a article written by a mathematician who delivered a lecture in Princeton, an Einstein Memorial lecture, where she talked about different types of mathematicians, birds and frogs, and birds see the overall picture, the panoramic view, the beauty of the entire mathematical system, whereas frogs, they just see the plant right in front of them, the dark earth, the dirty, muddy details. And there was a debate about whom to appoint as the Rosh Yeshiva. Should it be Rabbi Yosef, who was Sinai, or Rabba, who was Okir Harim? Whereas the Gemara says, I think, not in the Gemara in Brachos, but in Gemara in Sanhedrin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about Reish Lakish and Reb Meir, who are similar to Rabba. Okir Harim v'tochanem zebaseh. Not only could the mountain be lifted, but it could be ground to dust and reformulated. That's how overwhelming their intellect were. Not their intellect, but their command of Torah, their analysis of Torah. So interestingly enough, that day, about who should become the Rosh Yeshiva, a decision was made. And the decision showed preference to Sinai, to Rabbi Yosef, and he was designated to be the Rosh Yeshiva. Rabbi Yosef declined the offer. He had a masara that he would only live for 2 years after he served as Rosh Yeshiva, so he declined. He let Rabba serve as the Rosh Yeshiva, and he took over after Rabba's death, and then he served for 2 years, and then he had passed. So Rabbi Yosef was preferred because of Sinai to Rabba, who was the Rosh Yeshiva, he was preferred as the Rosh Yeshiva, because Rabba didn't have that same clarity, as we would call it, bikias, information, organization, retention. So Chazal were aware of two very different styles of learning. Some people who are compilers, and they compile information, they organize information, vast retention of information, clarity of organization. Some people are not compilers. Some people are analysts. And they're able to infer and apply and create meaning and discover larger connections and associations. Again, the birds and the frogs in that article I mentioned before. Or as the Yishalmi in Horio says, the Yishalmi doesn't have the poetic, metaphoric phrases. The Yishalmi says, should it be a sodron, milashon seder, someone who's organized, or a pilpilon, someone who's an analyst? And at least that day, regarding who should serve as the Rosh Yeshiva, there was a preference for the Sinai. And some Mefarshim throughout history have always shown that preference. The Maral in the Netiv HaTorah speaks very, very aggressively against Pilpul, although it could be that he's not opposing analysis, but a specific style of analysis that was very rampant, very popular in the 16th and 17th century, which many people felt was just show-off and self-aggrandizing, wasn't trying to get to any deeper levels of meaning rather than test your acumen and your aptitude, even if it wasn't to show-off and to grandstand, but it wasn't trying to develop a deeper level of meaning, it was just trying to sharpen what we'd call Talmudic aptitude rather than seeing larger networks of logic by broadening the sweep and the scope of our view and of our analysis. Now, what's interesting about this story in Brachos, this story in Harios, is first of all, it repeats itself in many different generations. I mentioned the Gemara in Harios about Rabba and Rabbi Yosef. The same questions were raised about Rav Sheshes and Rav Chisda. Rav Sheshes was called Sinai. Rav Chisda was called Okir Harim. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, that's the Gemara in Erev and Tzimach Zayin, the Gemara in Sanhedrin speaks about Rav Meir and Rish Lakish as being Okir Harim. What's also fascinating is the Rif tells us, it's like in the beginning of Brachos or Shabbos, that we paskin like Rabbah. So even though Rabbi Yosef was deemed the preferred person to serve as Rosh Yeshiva, we paskin like Rabbah because his ability to parse larger systems of information and reach a meta-analysis, even if it comes at the cost of the clarity and the retention and the bekiyas retention of information, at least in terms of arriving at a deeper understanding of a particular issue and articulating the position within that issue that's more authoritative and more compelling, we'd side with Rabbah with rare exceptions. So it sounds as if our Masara doesn't have a preference for one or the other. And it's a question of specialization and functionality and what role people play. There's a Gemara in Bav Metzia, Daf Lamed Gimel, which more or less talks about Rebbe stressing the value of Gemara. And in those days, Gemara was far more analytical than Mishnah, because Mishnah had been committed to text, and Gemara had not. And as soon as Rebbe published the Mishnah, there was such a thirst to analyze Rebbe Yehuda HaNasi's compilation of the Mishnah, the consummate Sadran, that people stopped learning Mishnah. And because of that, Rebbe, what previously encouraged people to be involved in analysis in Gemara, and it extolled the learning of Gemara, responded and corrected his statement by saying, Ratzel Dvar Mishnah, go back and learn the Mishnah, because the Mishnah may be forgotten. So that's a very interesting slant on it. Then our decision, whether to be an Okir Harim or whether to be a Sinai, and sometimes it's not a decision, sometimes it's just the way we're wired, what types of traits HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivers to us, what type of exposure we have. I know my own personal learning, I have very, very bad eyesight. So for me, reading large texts is not something which comes naturally. It's a struggle for me. So my natural go-to place is my own mind, my own analysis of the ideas of the text. So it could just be circumstances beyond your control. But it seems from this Gemara in Bav Metzia Lamed Gimel that a lot has to do with the timing of history. Rav Shlomo Kluger, the son of Rav Shlomo Kluger, supposedly once said that though many wanted to paskin, that if you have to decide who to give an aliyah to, you should give an aliyah to the baki rather than to the lamdan, as we would say in our jargon, to the person that has more information rather than to the person who is better at analysis. So maybe in our day, we have svarim, and that svarim grants easier, more common access to information, maybe the functionality and therefore the value of the baki, of the person that has a lot of information, is just less valuable than it had been in previous generations. And that's in line with Rebbe's statement, that you have to moderate or calibrate based on the needs of the generation, the needs of that point in history. Torah goes through different evolutions, different revolutions in time. And fascinatingly enough, the Netziv, in a very panoramic work, which I'll talk about the Netziv a bit later, in his introduction to the Shiltos, called the Hemek Sheila, I think it's called. I forget what the name of the introduction is. But his introduction, he talks about different periods and different eras of Talmud Torah. And if you can imagine Shlomo Kluger discussing the advent and the preponderance of written Svarim, creating access to information, thereby slightly, not devaluing, but slightly altering the value of the Lamdan versus the value of the Sadran, as opposed to the Gemara, Brachas and Harius, each of which suggested that the Sadran is first and should get the Aliyah first and should possibly be redeemed first if they both fall captive. In our day, Reb Shlomo Kluger writes, there's so much access to information. What would Reb Shlomo Kluger say about the internet age and the digital age, where just a few clicks of a button, you can perform searches on words and access information, presumably far beyond the types of information available, even to the biggest Sinais, to the biggest Sadrans, to the biggest Mumchen and Bekiyim. We just grant ourselves access to those information. Maybe the value, as Shlomo Kluger said, or the surpassing value of the Sadran has to be altered and recalibrated. Another interesting Gemara in Bava Basra, about a teacher. And the Gemara wants to know if there's someone who should be a teacher, and he's Goris Velodayik. He's someone who doesn't have precision, I make a mistake here or there. He doesn't have full, complete, precise retention, but he's sharp, he's garrus, presumably he's got other skills, pedagogical skills. He can interest the students in learning. He can sway their personalities. And the Gemara says that as a teacher, maybe we are willing to take, as the Gemara says, someone who is garrus velodoyik, someone that has learning, analysis, understanding, maybe we'd say charisma, insight, intensity, kinetic personality, even if it comes at the cost of his being a bucky and having this full control and clarity and retention and precision of every bit of information. There's another Gemara that Rabbi Chanina once said, he was having a machlokus to Rabbi Chanina, and Rabbi Chanina once said that if Torah would be lost, chas v'shalom, then I could restore all of the Torah with my harifus, with my analysis. And then Rabbi Chanina said, yeah, but I'm working hard, the Torah shouldn't be lost. And he was a teacher, and he tried to teach the people in outlying areas. But that Gemara also talks about the value of someone who is analysis over an analyst, because someone who's a sadron is dependent upon the existence of that Masorah. Baruch Hashem, we know that Torah will never be forgotten. Let the Shachach Torah, the Torah will never be forgotten from Am Yisrael. But it's interesting that Rabbi Chanina, as part of his give and take with Rabbi Chia, Rabbi Chanina said, my intellect, my analysis, my ability to infer, to apply, to associate. The Rambam, certainly in Hilchos Talmud Torah, when he speaks about the tripart division of our allocated time for Talmud Torah, extols the value of what we would call in today's world lamdas. So it's interesting that throughout our Masara, you've got this duality. At certain points in history, it seems as if Chazal showed preference for compilers. At other points in time, analysis is more important, more significant. It's interesting to hold these dual models up to the age of modernity. I spoke during a different share about how the internet has, in my mind, rendered everyone speed readers. So we've got a lot of compilers today. Reading things quickly and retaining information is natural to us. Reading slowly and analyzing and thinking, I know that in myself, in the last 20, 30 years that I've been teaching, I've seen a regression of lambdas. Boys that I teach are less inclined. People that I see are less inclined to engage in slow, sluggish, methodical, deliberate analysis of sugyos on their own, in part because there's so much analysis that has been reproduced. The last 150 years has seen such a growth, such a prodigious, prodigious blossoming of Reb Chaim's Torah and Reb Chaim's Talmidim's Torah and the Shurim of the Rosh Yeshivos and incredible Svarim that today many people feel, why should I engage in a personal, onerous, or burdensome effort to derive sugyas? On the other hand, I just taught a sugya today, which doesn't have that many Svarim that explain it. I'm teaching the sugya of Erev Tashilin, and many of the Svarim that address it stop at a level that I wasn't comfortable with. There are deeper levels of analysis, and I had to invest hours and hours trying to reach deeper levels of analysis. So, two different styles of learning. Some people, like the Maharal, felt that the analysis was not redundant, but was superfluous. People should be more involved in compiling information. I know that in our world of Torah today, compilation is a little more popular than analysis or than personal analysis. But there are two different masaras throughout our history: the Masara of Sinai and the Masara of Ochir Harim.